Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, another amazing week for men's basketball, including one of the more incredible wins in program history. We'll talk all about that. More postseason play for A-State volleyball. Baseball has announced details on the Grand Slam banquet. And football, busy preparing for their matchup with Bowling Green in the 68 Ventures Bowl. And speaking of football, we have two very special guests in studio today who happen to be the sons of the head coach. Welcome from the A-State coaching staff, Alex Jones, and also from the wide receiver corps, it's Adam Jones. How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you for having us.
Yes.
It's great to have you in, and we had this idea a while back to have both of you guys in studio, and it finally worked out where we could do this. So I'm guessing this is the first interview you guys have done together.
Yeah, together.
Yeah. You know who had to sign off on this, right?
Mom. Yeah.
Well, no, probably
yeah,
indirectly.
She did, for sure. But what's amazing to me, and just watching your family over the last 4 years, is how you guys are able to do a really good job separating family stuff from football. Am I right about that?
Yeah. To be able to kind of compartmentalize and take in football, and then when that's done or have a bye week, it still may be watching football, but we don't talk any Arkansas State football. So, you know, the really cool thing I think this past year was we had two bye weeks. So we were able to kind of gel as a family or get back together all at our parents' house and be able to just hang out, watch games, kind of the way the season worked and stuff like that. It was nice to be able to have those two bye weeks rather than one and be able to spend more quality time together, I guess.
Adam, are you able to separate it all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think especially with the two bye weekends, it helped out a lot because one of them was on Andrew's senior night. So I think that helped out a lot going, all of us being able to go to it, because usually on Friday nights we're either in a hotel or traveling, so we don't usually get to see him play in person. So that was something special for all of us to be there together.
I want to know for both, and I'll start, you know, Adam, from a player's standpoint, in the building, what do you call CBJ?
Actually, we don't talk that often in the building. If we do, it's just simple conversations, yes, no, but I do call him coach in the building just to kind of keep that relationship off the field. But because when we're in the building, it's all just straight focus and we're locked in. But I think he gives me like the freedom kind of just like to be a regular player, especially with Coach Lett. If anything, Coach Lett will get on me, or Coach Jeff Jones, Coach Heck. They're kind of the ones that will really get on me if anything happens throughout the week or at practice.
What about you, Alex? What do you call him in the building?
It's coach until I get really frustrated or mad. Then I go, Dad. There'll be something going on, and I'll be like, yes, Dad, I got it, or something like that. So that's when it's like, oh, crap, something's happening.
You know, does he pick up on that clue?
I think he does, yes. I definitely think he does. But the coaching staff will get kind of a big kick out of it because they'll kind of be like, oh, shoot. Yeah, like they kind of know, too, like, oh, shoot, something's – Alex is not happy, something like that. So, but it's yes, coach, until something different. But kind of being a player too, with kind of the way that Adam goes, is he lets you have your own life in terms of it's not strictly straight coach and then dad. So to be able to have kind of both that and have other people be able to get on you, in that regard, it makes it seem more like you truly get your college experience of not having to be able to have both sides of it, I guess.
He leaves you guys unsheltered, mm-hmm. free to take whatever heat comes.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of heard about that the other day a little bit, didn't we, Stoltz? There's a story you heard on the coach's show the other night.
Yeah, so I do want to hear about that because you guys, and I'm talking about you and your dad, Alex, have been on the same coaching staff now for 7 years.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm including the three seasons at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So Brad's referencing a story the other night where I guess you guys are on the practice field mm-hmm. at Alabama and you're brand new to the process. So you're out there with some big name coaches on the field at Alabama, your dad included, and kind of take us through how you were introduced to college coaching.
So I graduated Tennessee early, was able to go be a offensive assistant at the University of Alabama for 3 years. The second and third year, I was really kind of thrown into the fire in terms of I had to run the scout team wideouts for Coach Saban. So in doing that, obviously Coach Saban's DB is his, you know, defensive backs are his prized possession. It was the fact of going through walkthroughs and teaching all these guys, and, you know, you're having to read off certain routes and you got to make sure they're the right depth. So the way that my dad phrased it, it happened one time. I'm not going to lie, it was kind of bad. I got the straw hat thrown at me. The wideout was supposed to run a 6 yard under. He ran a 6 yard under, but he was so far off the ball to the corner, it looked like it was 8 yards. So the corner didn't make the correct call. He got mad at the wideout, which in turn came to me. Mm-hmm. And so that's the situation that he's talking about.
Did you want to dig a hole at that moment?
No. So it was a walkthrough. So it was even worse. It was more quiet.
Okay.
So it was that. It was, if you can't do it, we'll get someone else that can do it. Throw the straw hat. And honestly, I'm sitting there like in shock, like, guys, the greatest college football coach of all time is yelling strictly at me. But then it was funny because all the wideout came up to me and goes, Alex, I'm so sorry, man, that you didn't deserve that. And then, you know, you had all the defensive guys laughing, going, Alex, you good? And so, you know, it was honestly, it got my intensity level up, but then it also shows like everything is so detailed that you have to be locked into it every single day and every single play. I mean, that kind of shaped me to kind of the way that I coach now and kind of not being able to take a play off.
Taking a Coach Saban chewing out, I mean, it's like you wear that like a badge of honor. Now,
it's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
100%.
Meanwhile, got a kick out of your dad's perspective of that story because he says he hears some commotion going on.
Mm-hmm.
He notices Coach Saban chewing somebody. He then notices it's you because, mm-hmm. again, you're responsible for giving his D-backs the look they want. Mm-hmm. And what did he say he was doing? He said, well, they're cracking up.
Yeah, he was laughing. That was it's a walkthrough, so it's more quiet. So you can hear it. We were in the indoor, so you can hear it from both sides of the field. So, yes, basically the entire team heard it. So he got a good kick out of that.
You guys are a football family, obviously, and Alex, you and I were talking about it during Live with the Red Wolves the other night. You don't remember a time in your life without football. Adam, I'm sure it's...
same thing.
The same with you. When did you guys realize growing up that your dad was kind of a big deal?
I think Tennessee, the magnitude of like how big a coach can be, especially at that level in a city. I didn't really understand it just being young at that time, but kind of growing up, it kind of came to me just like, wow, like this is actually kind of insane. Like you go to a restaurant, you got people coming up left and right just to try and say hi, whatever and whatnot.
Can't but just go have dinner.
No, it's not like that in Knoxville. You can't do that. But it's definitely a surreal experience, but you get used to it. It's a blessing at the end of the day. I mean, all the relationships that you create and have for the rest of your life is something that you can't take for granted, and a bunch of people wish that they had.
So that's the first time you noticed that, you know, his job was not like everybody else's job. But mm-hmm. especially, you know, for you, Alex, you're old enough at that point, you're college age and beyond. You're making life decisions, and you also see the downside of that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of crap you got to take, and obviously he did in that situation. But none of that wasn't enough to make you question if that was still the path you wanted to take?
No, because even throughout all of coaching, like, yes, we may see our dad less than certain other fathers just because of the position that he's in or because of work. But I would like to think that me, Adam, and Andrew all have really, really good relationships with our father. It's quality over quantity. It's the time spent, like, what are you doing during that time? So for us, I mean, we all have great relationships with our dad. I mean, even though there are times where he missed basketball games, he missed football games, he missed dinner four nights out of the week, or so be it. So,
but there was a lot of times if he wasn't home, as kids, if we weren't at home, we were always at the facility. We could always go to the facility and just hang out, run around, be kids. And I think that was probably one of the best highlights of the whole experience, was being able to go there and be around the players.
You guys have both played for your dad now, Alex at Tennessee and Adam the last 4 years here. But were there ever any expectations to play football growing up? Or is it something you just naturally wanted to do from being around it so much?
For me, I didn't play, and then was like, my dad kept saying, well, you know what, you should try kicking, because that may be, you know, your way in. And started kicking my junior year, played senior year, and ended up being pretty good at it. And that was kind of my path. But it was never truly, hey, you have to play football. It was, if you want to, I'll support you in anything. But I will say this, our mom did a great job, because she let us try everything. I mean, I did tennis camp growing up. I did golf camp. We did soccer, basketball, baseball, hockey. So kind of got to try it. The gamut of every sport.
When I first got to high school, I was huge on basketball. I loved basketball so much, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, like, I think I want to give up football and try basketball, and he was not having that. So he told my high school coach, he was like, he'll be there next year, he's ready. And I was like, ah, here we go, we gotta do it now. So I think that was just the best thing for me. I mean, I was young at that time, but I think he knew what I could do in the sport of football. So thankful that he kind of corrected me on that path. But yeah, there was that time he was like, no, you're playing football for sure.
He didn't cost you a spot in the NBA?
I don't think so. I thought at that time I was like, I was getting tall, I was growing fast. I was like, oh, if I'm like 6'5", that'd be pretty good. But no, didn't get up there for that.
All right. So we're big fans of you guys, big fans of your dad. We're also big fans of your mom. And I want to hear how she manages this family, and your mom was keeping things together with you guys growing up, and I know she still does to a very large extent. So tell us just kind of what role she plays.
I think she's the rock of our whole family. I mean, everyone can rely on her when we most need her, and she's very understanding with what everyone has to go through, especially in our positions with Alex and my dad coaching and me playing, and now Andrew about to play. So I think she's been everything for us in the past couple of years with all this going on.
She is the model of consistency. There's always something going on, whether that's taking us to practices, games. I get the question all the time, and I know Adam does too, is, so like, does your dad ever yell at you at home? And it's, our mom is mom and dad built into one, because she's the disciplinarian. She's the one that did the grounding, that did the taking away of the phones, that did all the kind of stuff like that. So then my dad didn't have to come home and be just truly the bad guy. So I know that she took some of the stuff off of him in terms of that, but I guess we're all really close with our mom because of that.
If you even you set aside the family part, and now as a coach and as a husband, are you able to look at her like that? I mean, she could teach the class on being a coach's wife. I mean, if you kind of, has it helped you kind of see that side of it too?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then, you know, with my wife, Camille, being married for, you know, a year and 4 months now, this is what goes into being a coach's wife, and this is what you kind of have to expect, and moving and, you know, not being home, or hey, let me run up and bring you some dinner real quick, I know you got a long night, or just the chances of being able to see you just for 10 to 15 minutes and to be able to have a true conversation in those minutes that really means something. So I think Camille has taken a lot from my mom in terms of that, and she's still learning, but my mom is a true, she can write a book on being a coach's wife for sure.
It's KevinNowCars.com, trucks, cars to see, and SUVs, all types are there, rides everywhere, new and pre-owned, they're sure to own.
Just shop online, there you will find your perfect match is always at.
All types are there, rides everywhere.
This This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always, as we continue our visit with Alex and Adam Jones. I want to go back to December of 2020 when your dad was hired here. Alex, you had a good thing going. You were on the staff at Alabama. You'd been there three seasons. Adam, you were already playing college ball. You were at Central Michigan. So was it automatic that when your dad got the job here, you wanted to come here too? Or was it something that you had to think about a little bit?
It was definitely something I had to think about because I did love my time at Central, and I had some great relationships that I created and still talk to a bunch of those guys today. But I think ultimately when I got back up there after he got the job, I kind of realized like that our family could be back together because, I mean, I was with my mom and Andrew in Knoxville for a year and a half while they were both at Alabama. And, you know, with me going off to college, I was like I probably won't have that experience again with them, like all being at the same house or just being in the same city again. So when I realized that that could happen, I kind of came to myself and was like, I really think I need family at this time, because I had some trouble at Central just after COVID, being home for a long period of time and then going back. It was definitely hard on myself. So I think what I needed at that time was my family around me, and I think that's what was best for me.
For me, I was so excited for him to get back into what he loved to do, which was being a head coach. So I was going to take that opportunity and run with it and kind of come back with him. And I'm glad that I did. It's funny, I got here for about 2 weeks and they were like, hey, well, do you want to come back? Some positions have opened up. And I was like, no, I'm good. I've never been truly on staff with my dad as a head coach, so I wanted to see that aspect of it. And I knew that he would push me just being his son and going through that process. So I feel like I've grown exponentially in the 4 years because of that.
So I'll ask both of you, what have you learned about him from being on staff with him as the head coach? So maybe you didn't see it. Tennessee, if you're playing, and Alabama, if he's kind of just on the staff, what have you learned about him by seeing him every day as the head coach?
The biggest thing, so like I know his pet peeves just being around him as a son, but you see the pet peeves even more as he's the head coach. So, you know, you're going on a recruiting trip. Okay, well, here's what he likes. So here's what, whether it's me or Sam Brody, he's in a car, a water, a sparkling water, or a coffee, some gummy bears or lifesavers, gummy lifesavers, and then some sort of whether it's peanut butter crackers or something like that. So like, if anyone has a question in the building about him of, hey, should I go talk to him? Or hey, usually I get the question first and see how that would work out. Or hey, do you think he wants this for practice or this? Or, and so I usually get the brunt of those questions just naturally, just because I've been around him for so long, which honestly, I don't mind it because I can kind of feel like I can kind of take stuff off of his plate. But yeah, I definitely know way too much in terms of that regard.
Adam, what have you learned about him as having him as your head coach?
Kind of like what Alex said, some of it from seeing it from an aspect of being his son, and then it carries over to being a coach, but it magnifies a lot more, which is like either being on time to something or details, sitting up in a meeting, sitting up at home, same thing, being on time, whether it's or late to a meeting or on time for a meeting, but also in the aspect of like going on a family trip, getting to the airport on time, all that stuff. So it kind of goes hand in hand with each other.
Like seeing loose footballs on the field is one of his biggest pet peeves. And I know you guys being out of practice, can someone pick up that ball over there? You know, it's just the natural. So you try and see things before they happen so that they don't happen at all. So there's times where I'm running around like a madman trying to make sure everything's good, or like, hey, I know you're going to want to go down to this end of practice because of this and this.
I'm glad you brought up practice, because the most entertaining thing that ever happened in the history of Arkansas State football was your dad getting a mic at practice.
Yeah, you might want to put that up for a vote in my building. I don't know that that's quite the way that was
Well,
received.
For me it is, because for me it's pure entertainment, and I know it is for a lot of people, and I'm really curious, just with you guys, obviously with a different perspective, I'm sure, when you hear your dad making some comments during practice, and look, he's coaching hard, but I know he has a little bit of fun with that microphone too. So what are your thoughts? I'll start with you, Adam, when you hear your dad on the microphone during practice.
Whenever I hear him, he's like, oh, here we go. But he's done it for so long. He's always had a mic usually wherever he's been. You'll be at one side of the field and he'll be at the other, and you'll make a play or have a catch or something, and out of your helmet you'll hear, like, make sure you tuck the back door, close the back door when you catch the ball, or tuck the ball nearest arm to the quarterback. And it's like, how did he even see that? Because he's all the way at the other end of the field. You try and look around and see where he is.
So, because he had the mic at Tennessee, but I do feel bad for you guys over in the academic building sometimes. Probably around 3:30, you probably don't get much work done the rest of the day, I'm guessing, because it's loud, and then you got the songs mixed in with special teams. You got some of the annoying noises that he plays for road games. I mean, shoot, my wife can hear it all the way back at the landing where we live. So, oh yeah, your dad was going kind of crazy on the mic today. I was like, yep, I'm surprised you can hear that all the way from over there.
And there was one just particular day in our building, like, we obviously we hear it, but you can't always make it out, because what we're really hearing is the bounce back off the north end zone coming back at us. So you can't always make it out. And so, like, one day I start getting these texts from, like, John Cromer and different people. It's like, you know, are you hearing this? And, like, no, what's going on? And, like, he just keeps calling out your name. Where's Brad Bobo? He's out looking for the fans. I just, like, they said, people are just looking around, going, what, like, who is this? And so then I'm sitting in my office at home later that night, like 9 o'clock, and I get a text from him. He's like, hope you got a kick out of that. Just because he just randomly just decided that day he's going to start throwing my name around in practice.
All right, so I do want to know, just being here the last 4 years, both of you, I'm wondering how gratifying it's been just being a part of this process, because we're one of three programs right now that have increased its win total the last 3 years. Three programs in the entire FBS that have done that now, which is a huge achievement. And it kind of talks about the culture that's been put in place, the kind of job you guys have done as players, you guys as a coaching staff have been able to do during your time here. But to accomplish it as a family, does it make it even more gratifying for you guys?
It does, in clear coach speak, as kind of my dad would say, it's not anywhere near of a finished product of what we want to be here. But at the same time, it is. I think you are so grateful for the last 2 years because of what happened the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially in year two, like, I think we had the lead in like 7 or 8 games out of the 12 and only came away with 3 wins. So in our eyes, to be able to finish games and put teams away is, I think, some of the most gratifying things that have come from these past 2 years of being able to say, you know, we're going to 2 bowl games. We get to do it as a family. We're not sitting at home. We grew up going to bowl games and being in a hotel for Christmas. So for us, it's nothing new. We actually just
enjoyed it a lot. That was our Christmas, our winter breaks. We always look forward to whatever bowl game we were going to. And sometimes we knew we were opening Christmas presents on Christmas Day, but we knew if we didn't and we were at home, it wasn't the best year.
He made that comment the other night on the radio, that the Jones family doesn't like being home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to celebrate in a hotel room, and you're going to have a chance to do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just one last time with all my teammates and the staff. Definitely something special and something I'll remember for the rest of my life, too.
Such a big senior class, a senior class that has been such a big part of building up this program again. So, well, Adam, as players, I mean, how important is it? How good would it feel to go out with a win in that final game?
It'd mean everything to me. I really want to finish off my career with a bowl ring. I think that's the biggest thing I want. I've been to 2 bowl games out of my 6 years, and we lost both of them, one at Central, one here. So I think that's one of my main things. I just want to have something to remember my time here at A-State, just something that I can wear for the rest of my life and have for the rest of my life.
Because you mentioned that big senior class, and obviously before the last game of the regular season, honored that group. The whole other conversation about reworking the logistics of having 31 guys on senior day, but it was done alphabetically except for you. You went last, and really even that was logistically. It wasn't like to make some production out of it. It was because your dad had to go with you from your spot to the family picture. So what was that couple of minutes like?
I see it every year watching it, like just from either a fan or not even on the team aspect, but kind of being in it, it was like, oh, wow, like it's almost coming to an end. And I see Alex, I see Andrew, and I see my mom, and I'm just like, oh, geez. Like, it was actually a very emotional time for me just because I truly am going to miss my time here at A-State. And I did cherish every little moment I had wearing the Red Wolf on the helmet.
But your first, the way that was set up, you talk about getting to midfield and seeing the rest of those guys, but your first stop is like at the goal line or the fight with the head coach. What was that one like?
Honestly, it was just, it felt like another picture with Dad. I'll just remember that day forever, just because even running out and you look to the sides, you see the waterfalls. I'm just trying to take in, soak in everything one last time, especially getting our pictures with our family and everything. I think that was something very important to me.
It was neat to see you guys as a family take that picture. It was neat to see you take a family picture after your dad got his 100th win as well. That was a great shot. All right, so we haven't asked you yet, Adam. Alex has gone the coaching route. Is that something you're interested in?
I'm still open to it, but I think the more that I've realized and seen behind the scenes of it, I really enjoy watching film. So kind of like in the aspect of like recruiting and scouting, I really like watching film and I like evaluating guys. And I think that's something, a path that I would love to do, is just being like a player personnel guy kind of.
So for a lot of, especially fans, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot of fans that they're really, their only exposure to your dad is being at a game or watching a game on TV, and that's what they see. So if that's the only exposure they've had to Butch Jones, what do they not know about him?
That he is probably, however old he is, I know he doesn't want me to say it, but trapped in like a 23-year-old guy's body. Like, he is young, he is hilarious, he is funny. We all, like, we go on family trips, and it'll be like, my mom will say, oh, here we go, because it's four boys just laughing the entire time and making jokes about each other. Basically, it's four brothers at sometimes. Because you got to live in the Jones house, you got to be able to, you can dish it, but you got to be able to take it in terms of being able to, you know, the smack talk and all the stuff like that. So we all give each other a hard time. We all lighthearted jokes, but I don't think people see how funny he can truly be. And you guys know, but the lightheartedness, the funniness, the jokes, more so on that end, because all you see is, you're exactly right, the intensity and the yelling at the officials and the stuff like that. People don't see the other side of it, where he is truly a great human being that, you know, loves to give and loves to enjoy spending time with his family and friends.
Yeah, it's been great to get to know him so well these last 4 years, but having you guys around is special too. I mean, there's not a lot of environments where it's a complete family affair like it is with you guys. And I'm sure just going through it the last 4 years, and Adam, as a player, you know this is a really unique situation that you've been in.
Oh, for sure. I was kind of nervous when I first got here, honestly, just because, like, being the coach's kid and everything. But everyone welcomed me in with open arms, and I started connecting with the guys very early on, and even the staff itself. So I think that just being, like, a family environment, it really started when we first got here, and it kicked off. And it's been the best thing for the past 4 years for myself and my family.
All right, we've talked about Dad, we've talked about Mom, we've talked about you guys, but you're – brother Andrew just wrapped up his senior season at Valley View. He had a heck of a season. So what's your advice to him? How good can he be?
Oh, one, I want to congratulate Andrew on a All-State season. He's like 140 pounds soaking wet, so he needs to gain some weight. But I know Adam, and I speak for Adam too, is we are both looking forward to what he does after and kind of see what, you know, where the journey takes him, but he can be as good as he wants to be. And that was kind of the same thing that I told Adam, kind of under-recruited and stuff like that. And that's why I give, the paths are very similar for Adam and Andrew. You know, I give Adam a lot of credit, is just to be frank and honest with you, Adam had D3 offers. And I think the reason why Adam is so grateful for all this is because of the fact of he didn't succumb to what everyone said and he continued to work. And no one would have ever thought coming out of high school that Adam would be a 4-year letterman at a D1 school, or really 5 because of Central, and have the years that he had. And I think Andrew is kind of on that same path of the offers haven't come yet and I'm hoping that they do, but he can play and Adam can play. And I think that's kind of the thing, is you kind of see guys grow into themselves as you get older and older, and the best football is ahead of Andrew, just kind of like it was for Adam.
We talked a lot about all the different angles of being a son in this football deal, but you've gone through it now twice watching little brothers play. Adam, you have done it now, not only watching him play your position. What's that been like?
I mean, I always get smack in the facility, especially from Lett, saying that they always took the wrong Jones, so that kind of hits home. But I mean, everyone says he'll be better than me, but the sky's the ceiling for him. He has a lot of ahead of him, and I'm very excited to see what he can do. Like Alex said, he's got to put on some weight, but I think wherever he goes at the next level, I think he'll thrive, just because I know he works hard and he's determined in whatever he does.
Well, this has been fun, guys. Mm-hmm. We've really enjoyed this conversation and just hanging out with y'all again. We wanted to do this for a while, and hey, it's lived up to the hype. So
that's right.
Appreciate y'all having us.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and let's go win a bowl game.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
That's Alex and Adam Jones joining us here in studio. We'll wrap things up here on the Second to None podcast right after this.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Well, the volleyball team saw its amazing season come to an end this past week. They fell in the Great Eight of the NIVC tournament. Lost in 5 sets. They took the first 2 sets mm-hmm. in their match against Northern Colorado, but dropped the next 3. The 5th set, I know, got a little crazy. Got down big, came yep. back, tied it, and Northern Colorado ended up winning it 15-13.
Yeah, 8-2 down. I mean, and that's, you're down 8-2 in the 5th. It's like you're supposed to be dead, and just got to kept plugging away and got it tied at 12-12. And wouldn't you know it, like at 12-12, pretty much the key point of the match. And I really didn't see it. I'm just having to, at this time, kind of follow it on live stats, but I know something happened that went to a review. So when you know they have to go to video evidence to decide who's taking a 13-12 lead in the 5th set, and then end up, yeah, 15-13 there in the 5th was the final.
What a year, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
28-6, the final record. And as Brian Gerwig told us a couple of weeks ago when he was in on this podcast, this is a team that is comprised of mostly sophomores, so yep. it's going to be a really fun season next year, too.
They've gone from making it into this tournament, losing to the team that won it eventually in the first round last year, to making a deep run in it this year. And basically, we're the second team left out of the NCAA tournament, so you know, if they can take another step from there, there's no telling what the season could look like.
All right, let's get into men's basketball here. A week that we'll never forget. Certainly a Sunday we'll never forget. But we want to go back to Thursday night first. The Red Wolves were at home against UTA on Thursday, a game in which Red Wolves got off to a little bit of a slow start. They were down 4 at the half. They came back, led by as many as 14 in the second half, and went on to win it 83-79. Red Wolves now 6-0 on the home floor this season. Terran Todd led the way in that one, by the way, with 23 points, 8 boards. He had 4 assists, didn't turn it over. And that's 9 wins in a row now on the home floor dating back to last season. And I know you and I talked about it afterwards. Over 4,900 there on Thursday when a lot of the students had already gone home.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was only one day of finals left. So the majority of students had already been able to get, you know, out for the semester. So, and even with that said, I still thought it was okay in the student section even.
Yeah.
Even with that being said, there was a decent number of students there. But, yeah, a real good crowd and really makes it exciting for what it can look like. I mean, Saturday, and I know we'll talk about it a bit, and then certainly when they get home, like Saturday is their only home game with the students gone.
Yeah.
And so it's really exciting what it could look like when they get back here in January.
All right, let's get to Sunday. As the Red Wolves traveled to Birmingham, they took on UAB. UAB, the preseason favorites in the American. When you look at the first half, it was horrible. But we didn't get off to a bad start. It was 14-11 at one point in favor of the Red Wolves. But from that point on, UAB outscored A-State 42-14 the rest of the half. There was one stretch where they outscored us 30-3. And just nothing was going right. We couldn't hit anything from outside. We missed our first 10 shots from three. We went 1 of 13 from distance in the first half, and it's 53-28 UAB at the half. It just looked like one of those days.
Yeah, it did.
And there was a point 2.5 minutes into the second half where the Red Wolves were down 27, but we started to get a little momentum and started chipping away just slowly, and at one point it got to under 20. I remember there was a timeout. I looked over at Jerry Scott, who was sitting next to me, and I said, you know, if we could get it down to between 12 and 15 by the under 12, you know, we might have a shot. And he said, well, that's being positive. And I said, yeah, I'm being positive, but we are starting to play better. And at the under 12 timeout, we were down 11. We just had all the momentum all of a sudden. And before you know it, our guys came all the way back, erased that 27-point deficit. We had guys just take over this game. Terran Todd was unbelievable. He scored 31 points that matched his career high, hit big shot after big shot. Kobe Julian was incredible. He finished with 25. And so many of those points were just attacking the basket, things that we weren't doing in the first half. We had 50 points in the paint in that game.
Yep.
You talk about the guys inside. One thing Coach Hodson did on Sunday is start the Twin Towers, talking about our 2 5s, Rashad Marshall and Isaiah Nelson, started them together. And, man, did they respond. They each had a double-double in this game.
Interesting. Yeah, that was really interesting. Again, for a team, do you think it's built on on shooting the three and everybody on the floor being able to shoot three? It's definitely a change of course to look out and see start both bigs in the same lineup.
Joseph Pinion also scored in double figures. He had 12. So those 5 starters ended up accounting for all 98 points that we scored. I've never seen anything like it, and I know Jerry Scott was asking our contact at the NCAA if a team had ever scored that much before, where all the scoring came from the starters.
Highest point total with no bench points. Somebody's got that somewhere.
But those were the guys that were getting it done. And in the end, the Red Wolves win in overtime in one of the most incredible, most thrilling wins in school history, 98-89. And we were doing a lot of searching in the record books after this. And I was riding back with Jerry Scott and Caleb Garner, and they were searching the whole time back, or at least half the way back, It was tied for the sixth largest comeback in Division I history, just period. Tied for the fifth largest second half deficit overcome in D1 history. And tied for the third largest halftime comeback in Division I history. It also was the second straight Sunday we've knocked off one of the top two teams in the American. Memphis last Sunday, UAB this Sunday. And Caleb Garner gave me the note this morning. Red Wolves now the only team in Division I this year to go on the road and win at the number one and number two teams in the same conference. He's going to go back even further to see just how many times that's happened, period. And it's also the second time in school history that A-State has had at least 9 wins before Christmas while facing only one non-Division I opponent. The only other time that happened was back in the 16-17 season when Grant McCaslin was here. So that ended up being a 20-win season. But now 9-3 on the year, and you and I have been watching this stuff for a long time. I've called a lot of games. I probably have forgotten about 98% of the games that I've called. Never going to forget that one.
That's the beauty of it, beauty of sports, period. You never know when you're going to see something you hadn't seen before. And I'll fess up to my part in this, and I think it's a tale like several A-State fans who have a story like mine. I was settled in to watch this thing on TV from the tip, and I did and was suffering through that first half. Well, right about halftime, right at halftime, it's time to eat dinner. So I just turn it off. Dinner ends, and I think by the time I grabbed my phone to just I'm just going to see where this thing's gotten. You know, it was about at around the 16-minute mark or so. But anyway, it was to 15. I'm like, huh, what? That's interesting. You know, it's already down to 15. Or it might have even been 20. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was 5 minutes in, it was down to 20. I'm like, all right, you've gotten 5 off of it. You didn't just roll over. Next time I check it, I think it's down to 9. And I, okay, now you're in it.
Yeah.
But I won't switch it back on. So the next time I look, it's 2. I'm like, ooh. So I at least didn't take the step of at least kind of letting it pop up on the video, which I was going to anyway, pop up on the phone. And then finally transitioned back to felt comfortable enough that I wasn't going to screw it up if I watched it down the last few minutes.
Just amazing. You know, I mentioned what I was talking with Jerry Scout about just having goals after each media timeout. And that's exactly what Brian Hodson told me in the post game. He said that was what they talked about at halftime. Try to just get down to a certain amount after each media timeout. And they kept surpassing their goals. And
I was interesting to hear him beat that forthright about it. It's not, hey, we're just going to chip away and see what happens. He laid out a roadmap to getting back in that thing, and they followed that map all the way to the winner's circle.
You mentioned Saturday. It's the conference opener now as we'll host Coastal Carolina at 2 o'clock. Really looking forward to that one and hope to have a big, big crowd in there. This team certainly deserves it.
So let me tell you, students aren't going to be there in large numbers, right? They're gone. The housing's closed down. They're gone. So we got to pick up that slack, not just in numbers, but in juice. Like, right, so much of the juice a lot of times comes from that end. And the howlers will be there.
If you're useless, you're useless.
And that's absolutely right. So nobody gripes. The student turnout probably won't be great, and hopefully we're wrong. Like, right, maybe people drive in for it. But go to that game not just to be a butt in a seat, but to be an active participant. And let's see how much noise we can make in there to start Sunbelt play 1-0.
Yeah, that'd be great. To start Sunbelt play 1-0 and a great way to go into Christmas. And if you're able to win that one, that's a 5-game win streak. So hopefully we'll be talking about that this weekend. Women's basketball, they played just one time this past week. They played Sunday at Tennessee Martin, a game in which they led at the half.
Yeah.
But Skyhawks able to come back and win it 82-71. Winner Rogers leading the way with 15 points for the Red Wolves, but they fall to 3-5 on the season. And look, 6 of the first 8 games have been on the road. They're 2-0 at home, and fortunately they get a couple of home games this week.
And I'm sure we had some people, and I get it, who fell victim. And if you did this, you fell victim to just looking at UT Martin's record and going, oh my gosh, you lost to a team that was 1-8. Number one, if you know women's basketball, you know the program they've been having at UT Martin. But even beyond that, they were 1-8. They'd played at Tennessee. They played Louisville. They played a pretty good UCA team. They'd been at number one UCLA. They played Hawaii. They played Fresno. They played Butler.
Wow.
A lot of teams are going 1-8. And so, and I know, I mean, our staff and team knew that. They weren't fooled by that record, but they'd played literally statistically one of the toughest schedules in the country to that point. You knew it was a good team, and that was a back-and-forth game, really even into the fourth quarter. It's just UT Martin made the last push. And sometimes those games like that just depends on who gets the last little surge, and Sunday it was UT Martin.
Red Wolves will host Tarleton State Thursday at 7, and the women will then play Sunday at 2 against Delta State. That'll be the final tune-up before conference play begins. Baseball has announced the details for the Grand Slam Banquet. Excited about this. Presented this year by Calmer Solutions, and the special guest will be four-time Gold Glove winner and the former manager of both the Cardinals and Royals.
Mostly the Cardinals.
Mike Matheny. And that event is at a different time this year. Usually it's like the week of the first game, whether it's Monday or Tuesday night before the season begins on Friday. But we're also doing this at a different venue. We're going to do it for the very first time at the Embassy Suites inside the Red Wolf Convention Center on Friday night, January 31st.
Mike Matheny will be phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's going to be really, really good. And new spot now, I'll say this, just being honest, not as many spots, not as many spaces available probably as there'd been being. I mean, the Grand Slam just kind of kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, this venue change is probably going to shrink the number of available spots. So if you're wanting a table to that or your ticket, I would jump on that quick because I would anticipate that this will be a sellout.
You can find out more and get your tickets by clicking on the link at astateredwolves.com. And we'll wrap things up with football. They're back on the practice field this week, getting ready for their 68 Ventures Bowl matchup with Bowling Green. Practicing all week at home as they'll get ready for that contest on the 26th. But then on Sunday, they're going to hop on the buses and head down to Mobile.
Early departure because they're going to be down there in time. I know Coach Jones, I think Jeff Purinton are going to be part of, you know, they have a press conference Sunday down there, and then Sunday night is the Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah, that's always something that our fans have enjoyed.
Yep.
We've enjoyed.
That's right. That's still part of it. That actually sort of doubles as probably Mobile's Christmas parade this time since we're used to being in January. But that'll be Sunday night. You know, the other bowl events really are on game day with the, you know, alumni's tailgate with the Red Wolves Foundation, and the bowl puts on a street party and a parade. They like parade the players into the stadium on game day. So that stuff all happens on Thursday.
Anything else we need to discuss here?
Hey, three games this week at the bank. So Thursday night, the women are home. I think they're going to be in red, I think, on Thursday. And then Saturday and Sunday sort of lump those together as calling the home games before Christmas. Santa Claus himself is going to be at the men's game Saturday.
Oh, boy.
If you need a last minute, you hadn't gotten your photo yet, or you got a gift request to still get in, or you need to make a last minute plea to try to switch which list you're on, he'll be there. Hearing all those Saturday, and then Sunday during the women's game, putting on an ugly sweater contest. My hope is that the person that wins it meant to.
Yeah, that's always a good goal.
That ain't for somebody. Somebody, hey, you've won. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I love the sweater. Hey, it's been a fun show, and really, really enjoyed our visit with Alex and Adam Jones. Just neat to hear their perspective, a very unique perspective that they have that not many others can relate to, but appreciate them opening up and really appreciate them coming in.
Yeah, it was fun. Enjoyed that and what they brought to the table from, again, a lot of different angles. So would imagine folks enjoyed that quite a bit. If they don't, we don't care because we enjoyed it.
Thanks to Jerry Scott for setting that up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Appreciate you listening. Have a great week.